Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, everybody, to Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose with Sports Talk 790. And well, fellas, we can't massage it anymore. This is officially a slump. We keep going around the bush because the Rockets really haven't had a pronounced losing streak. Even now, they've only lost two games in a row, just twice this entire season. So it's not like the Clippers losing six in a row in late December. It's not like the Rockets hit a wall. But now they are 3-6 in their last nine games, and this looks nothing like the team that started this year 31-9 and really just an eyelash away from being a top two team in the Western Conference at that point. Really just 2.5 games back of the Warriors for the one seed at that point. But now losers of six of their last nine, including two in a row on the road to Milwaukee and Boston. It's pretty clear that the Rockets have some structural issues that need to be addressed. Now, to be fair, we do have to point out that Eric Gordon sat out Wednesday night in Boston with basically lower back stiffness. The good news, it's not his feet. What you worry about is the big toe that he sprained on the left foot or the right ankle that he turned in Miami. Back stiffness, that happens to a lot of players over the course of an 82-game season. It's not worth worrying about unless you hear something more concerning from the Rockets. It's not a chronic situation. It's not like one of the existing injuries flaring up. So you have to hope. Just give him a couple of days to rest, and hopefully he'll be back and at it in Philadelphia on Friday night. And we should also acknowledge, of course, that Nene also set out for rest. It's not a back-to-back, but it's something the Rockets try and do for maintenance when they can. And they try to do it even more when they know it's a matchup that's not really suited for him. Just like Golden State last Friday night, you knew that was a game that the Rockets would have to play small a lot. So they rested Nene then, rather than just play him 10 or 12 minutes. You might as well give him the entire night off. Same thing in Boston. Boston is a smaller team with Al Horford in the middle. The last time the Rockets played Boston in December at Toyota Center, basically Montrezl Harrell was the story. They switched a lot on defense down the stretch, and this was his game. So rather than just try and extend Nene for 10 or 12 minutes, just give him the night off and see if that helps keep him fresher for the games in which you do really need him. That said, even without Nene and Eric Gordon, this was an incredibly winnable game, and the Rockets obviously did not, falling 120-109. Rockets are now 34-15 on the year after that 31-9 start. And yes, it was just an eight-man rotation. We know by now that Mike D'Antoni clearly does not trust KJ McDaniels or Tyler Ennis, so there's no point in beating our heads into a wall on that. It is what it is. Without Nene and Eric Gordon, there's the five regulars, and then Sam Decker, Montrezl Harrell, Corey Brewer, and against a Boston team that had been struggling entering this game, still did not have Avery Bradley, this is a game that you would like to see them at least be competitive. They sure as hell shouldn't lose by 11 and get clowned down the stretch of the fourth quarter, yet that's what happened. And, well, it starts in the defensive end. Celtics scored 68 points in the second half. That is entirely too much, and you can point the fingers a lot of areas, but I'm going to start with the rebounding because 48-30. This is not even a big Boston team. This is a team starting Al Horford at center, a guy who doesn't rebound that well, and hell, Horford had just three rebounds tonight, whereas Clint Capella had seven in just 20 minutes. But the Celtics were significantly better at getting loose balls and long rebounds, and where I think it really stood out tonight, Pat Beverley just had two rebounds, James Harden six, Trevor Ariza two. I've spoken before about the injuries with the Rockets, and there's kind of two ways to look at it. They've struggled this stretch. Yes, there have been guys missing games due to injury. We know Ryan Anderson missed close to 2 weeks with the flu / stomach virus. We know Eric Gordon missed some games with the toe and the ankle issues. The other thing is that when the Rockets made up for those absences, and I didn't even mention Clint Capella, who was out for a month with the broken fibula, the mainstays took on such a huge role. Your James Hardens, your Pat Beverly, Trevor Ariza, guys like that, they went above and beyond the call. How many games early this month did we see Trevor Ariza play 44 minutes, James Harden play 42, just so that the Rockets could scrape out a game against a team that they knew they should beat? Now, it was admirable that they were willing to do that, but that does have a cost later on. It's not as simple as saying, well, you win that game, so you just survive in advance. No, there's a toll over an 82-game season, especially a month where you play 17 games. And so even though the Rockets are healthier than they've been in a while, except for Eric Gordon, even though Ryan Anderson's back and he played 35 minutes tonight, 19 points, 5 rebounds, you still have these guys like Harden, Beverly, and Ariza that have overextended themselves for some time, and I think their legs are showing you that there's a cost for the minutes you piled up on them earlier this month. And I'm not criticizing Mike D'Antoni, because you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you don't play Trevor Ariza 44 minutes earlier this month, well, maybe you don't win that game. You win this one, but you lose that one. So either way, you probably lose somewhere. It's just kind of a reality check that, well, it's not as simple as saying the Rockets survived that run without Capella, without Ryan Anderson, without Eric Gordon, survived an X record, and, well, now they're okay. Because, well, a lot of those guys are back now, except for Gordon, and you're still not having the level of production. And James, I mentioned the 6 rebounds, which actually is a little low for him. Not just that, he did have 30 points and 12 assists. That's good. Turnovers cut from 11 to 7. I guess that's progress. But really, the story, James was 6 of 18 from the field, just 2 of 11 from 3, and a couple of those shots came in the last couple of minutes when really the game was already decided. When this game mattered, James was essentially shooting below 25% from the field, and a lot of those shots were short. Tired legs. Pat Beverly, just 3 points, 1 of 6 shooting, 0 of 3 from behind the arc. Trevor Ariza, 4 of 11, although he did go 4 of 8 from 3, so you have to give him credit for that. But really, this is a game where the guys that you look at, your veterans, your mainstays, they all looked a little tired, and when it really mattered in the fourth quarter, the sequence I thought was really defining. I think the Celtics got it to, they were up 7 at this point, I believe, and there was a loose ball at half court. And the Rockets had possession of the ball, but basically Al Horford went diving to the floor to get it. James basically bent over, and Horford got the ball, tipped someone else. Celtics had a layup that basically put the game away. And it's not fair for me to call out James for his effort, because James has taken on a superhuman load this year. But I think it ties back into that overall theme, which is that this is not the same team that we saw a month ago, and a lot of that is just due to physical realities. There's a lot of guys in this rotation that are just not there 100% right now. Now, if there's any upside at all, the bench actually played well. Corey Brewer, plus 9. Sam Decker and Montrezl Harrell, plus 8. Montrez, 11 points, 5 of 6 shooting, 3 assists. Thought he had some nice passes tonight. Sam Decker, 15 points, plus 8 in his 29 minutes. 7 of 14 from the field, although just 1 of 5 from 3. And we did see James getting on Sam at one point late in the third quarter. Looked like that he wanted Sam to pass the ball rather than just relentlessly attack. Decker did have 0 assists in his 29 minutes, so we should note that. But by and large, those 3 bench guys, those were your bright spots. It's kind of the opposite of the game in Milwaukee, because really the game in Milwaukee, the Rockets ran into problems in the early second and early fourth quarters when Harden went out. There came the 11-0, even 15-0 run. It didn't happen tonight. The bench for the Rockets played well. It was actually the minutes with the starters where they really got outplayed. And so I think that speaks to the energy level. And yes, I know it's not a back-to-back situation, but it's game 3 of a 5-game road trip. These guys are having to dig deep at this point. And the thing that's frustrating is that really, when you have the kind of schedule they've had and the kind of injuries, it's tough to really see a break in the schedule until you get to the All-Star break. Now, the upside is that, well, you're not really playing a contender over this stretch. So in theory, these are winnable games, but, well, Milwaukee Monday, Boston Wednesday, these were winnable games and the Rockets didn't get it. So at some point, you can't just say these games are winnable. They're going to have to take these games, and right now, well, they're not doing that. Now, another bright spot I haven't mentioned, Clint Capella, 12-7 in 20 minutes. I do think it's fair to say that Clint is, he's all the way back physically. He's getting the lobs. He's making the plays in traffic that we saw him make before the injury, where he's not all the way back. He was a minus 19 in those 20 minutes, which is tied for worst on the team. Ryan Anderson was also a minus 19, but, well, Ryan Anderson played 36 minutes, so it's at least more plausible to be minus 19. For the Rockets to be minus 19 in Capella's 20 minutes, despite his gaudy numbers, that tells you that despite him making the box score plays, there's something there missing. And again, plus minus doesn't prove something every single night, but I've noticed it in the Golden State game, also in Milwaukee. Clint is a little slow mentally right now. He's not making his rotations. Teams, especially when they can pull him into space the way the Celtics could with Al Horford. We saw the Warriors do it when they went with their death lineup with the likes of Draymond Green in the middle. Clint, he's back physically, but in a way, there's a rust factor mentally too. And you go back to the start of the year, it really took until about the second half of November. And remember, the Rockets started just 6-5 this year. It took a little second half of November before we really saw Clint Capela establish himself as a marquee force. And right now, I've said this point before, but I feel like Clint's where he was in early November. He's there physically, and so there are moments where he looks dominating, and you say, wow, why is this guy only playing 20 minutes? Why doesn't Mike D'Antoni play him longer? This guy looks like he's the second best player, but then you look at the plus-minus figure, and you have to basically do a double take. And then you look back and you think about some of the plays that you see him lose a man, slow on the rotation, and it's one of those things I wouldn't overly worry about it because we saw him pull out of the stretch before. I think it's some of this stuff is not really natural to him. He has to work in practices with Jeff Bezdelic, and so it took a while for it to take the first time around. And now I feel like we're back in that exact same spot. And unfortunately, he's just a week off the injury, so I don't know how quickly it's going to turn around. Good news is that the Rockets don't really have any back-to-backs for a while, so there are going to be a decent amount of practices, but Mike D'Antoni's going to have to walk a fine line. Yes, you want to go through practices and give guys like Clint time to develop, but you also want to give your veterans, the likes of James Harden, Pat Beverley, and Trevor Ariza, time to rest your legs. It's a delicate balance. It's a fine line to walk, and so we'll see how the Rockets balance it for the remaining two games of this road trip, and then especially next week when they get home to Toyota Center. With that said, I will wrap up this brief episode of Locked On Rockets. Again, I'm your host, Ben Dubose. This is Locked On Rockets. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets, or you can email the show at lockedonrockets@gmail.com if you've got any questions, suggestions, anything you might want to know about your favorite basketball team. And don't forget, if you email us, please reach out if you're at all interested in promoting anything, because if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 54, then yes, you should absolutely be advertising right here on this show. Our audience is 97% men and 79% between the ages of 18 and 44. Recent surveys have shown the podcast listeners are 65% more willing to consider buying products that they've learned about from podcasts, and 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcast. Our rates are reasonable, so again, just email me at lockedonrockets@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to help you out with how to promote your product here on Locked On Rockets. For now, I will rest up and get ready for the games this weekend. We're going to have a pair in Philadelphia and in Indiana, and so of course we'll have you covered here on Locked On Rockets. As far as will it turn around, well, hopefully they get their rest, because really this comes down to defense and energy this game tonight. Again, Rockets out-rebounded 48-30 against a Boston team that really is not all that big. Second game in a row that the Rockets have given up 120 or more points overall. So really, sometimes the game is as simple as just having the energy for two nights in a row. Pick your reason. I think a cumulative toll from the stuff that's gone on over the past month is one plausible explanation, but well, even with that, you can always play harder, and I'm sure that's what Mike D'Antoni and Jeff Bezdelic are going to be emphasizing in the next 2 days. Control what you can control, because tonight, while it wasn't as pretty as Monday offensively, Rockets shot 50% overall, 40% plus from three then. Tonight, the Rockets were 46.8% from the field, just over 32% from three. It's below average, and to be fair, the Rockets are just about 33% from three this month, so they have slumped for a while. But really, the shooting percentages are not terrible. This isn't a game where you say, well, the Rockets just shot 20% from three, just chunk it, and when they have their shooters back, it'll be fine. No, this was a game the Rockets lost because of their lack of energy, because of their lack of activity around the glass, and it's happened two games in a row now, and really, it's nothing shocking at this point. They've lost 6 of 9 games, and now 2 in a row, giving up 120+. So there's not much to say other than play harder, get well, rest up, and hopefully you'll see a more focused team on Friday night in Philadelphia. For now, I will sign off and talk to you guys again then. Have a good one.